Father, we thank you for your holy word, and we thank you for your holy name, that in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against us in judgment, God will condemn. Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. We don't use that lightly. Forgive us this morning as we step into your spirit. As we step into your presence, forgive us for our sins. Forgive us for our thoughts, our imaginations. Help us, Lord, to have a pure intention this morning and pure thoughts. As we go into your word, let our words be in agreement with your words. And Father, we ask you these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now this morning, I want to go back with you in Acts chapter 7. First of all, good morning, saints. I'm honored to have Lucy here this morning. Amen. Let's give her a great hand clap. Amen. Acts chapter 7. We're not going to start there. I want to just lay a foundation of what we're going to talk about this morning. Again, this is tape number 40,000. You, the saints that want to order this, it'll be an 8-tape series. And it'll be talking about the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. As I began to pray over the last couple of days, the Holy Spirit began to show me this is an hour for the prophets of God to arise in America. If ever there was a time when we needed the word of God spoken, alive, transparent, it is now. We need to pray for Bishop Jacobs. He couldn't come because there's a million soldiers on the borders, each side, one on Pakistan and one on India. Our president of the United States is now right now in Russia. He's getting ready to go into Paris. Something is getting ready to happen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. And ladies and gentlemen, I had a dream. And usually when I have a dream, it comes to pass. We had a nuclear war. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an hour to repent. This is an hour to come into the house of God and get close to God and know your scripture. Because as the Spirit of God begins to be poured out upon the world, there's going to be a lot of false prophets. There's going to be a lot of things, people trying to judge the church, people trying to do their own will because they say, well, he did it. He got away with it. Well, I'm going to try that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know, I was telling somebody about David in the Bible. David stole a man's wife. I'm not telling you to do that. But David did it. But God still called this man a man after his own heart. David stole a man's wife. Now, he didn't get punished. His first baby died. He got punished. But here's a man that knew God. He was the king, though. But he stole somebody's wife. And here goes a man. I don't know the exact prophet. Was it Eli? That came in and told, they were in this meeting. Was it Eli? Nathan. He comes in and says, okay, was her name Bathsheba? What's that girl lady's name? Bathsheba. I want to just make it right. I want you to get a picture this morning. Say, get a picture. I want you to get a clear picture. Here goes Bathsheba. They're going to stone her. They're going to kill her. Now, they had this place called the Holies of Holies. It was the Ark of the Covenant. Now, only the priest could go there. Say, only the priest could go there. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you was a priest, they used to put this little bell on your leg. Say, bell on your leg. And say, for instance, you had a bad thought. You wanted to kill somebody, or you just wanted to steal something, or you wanted to tell a lie. Just tell a lie. You didn't tell no lie. You just was thinking about it. Say, thinking about it. Well, if you went into the Holies of Holies with that thought, you fall dead. Say, fall dead. And they would take you, and they used to have this little rope on the end. They didn't have a bell on your leg, but they'd have a rope. So they wouldn't want to go in there. So the bell, hey, can I get you? Y'all getting a picture of what I'm saying? So the bell would be outside the door. Let's say this is a door right here, right? Well, there was a long rope on your leg with a bell. So if you fell dead, It would ring. Ding, ding, ding. Everybody say ding, 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 ding. Watch now. And so they would just pull you out. They'd just pull you out of the holies of holies. Now watch this. But here goes a man that knew God. Say knew God. He steals a man's wife. Now he also kills the husband. Puts the man in front of the first part of the army, and he gets killed. Now this man was so loyal, he wouldn't even go and kiss his wife. He would sleep at the door of David's door to protect David. He was a mighty warrior. Say mighty warrior. He was loyal. He was perfect in the sight of God. He had a beautiful wife. She was so beautiful. David looked out on his patio one day. She was out there sunbathing. She was so beautiful. David said, I had to have her. Now watch what I'm trying to make a picture. Say, make a picture. Here goes a soldier, won't even go back and talk. How many of y'all that had a beautiful wife, and I told y'all, lay outside my door, I want y'all to protect me tonight, you wouldn't go home and be with Honey Bunch. You'd be like, Pastor, I love you, but mama want me to come home. Huh? Am I right? Mama wasn't 700 pounds. Mama looked like Miss America, right? Everybody, when they got a woman look that good, they walk up and down the street, hold hands, they be just in love, right? Right? David said, I got to go pray. Say, I got to go pray. David went in the holies of holies with no bell on. Say, no bell. He didn't even go into the holies of holies with no robe. He just stepped into the holies of holies where no man dared to go. Because he had a relationship with God. And he fell down on his knees like this. He said, Lord, he said, I love her. You see, love can stop death. He said, Lord, I love her. Don't kill her. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says God stopped death. And the Bible also said the death angel couldn't touch David because he went into the holies of holies with the right attitude. Some of y'all, when you go to prayer, you got to go into prayer with the right attitude. Today is a day of closure. I told some people the other day, I said, well, this is a time we got to close some doors. There is some time you got to close some doors. Say, I got to close some doors. And you got to open some new doors. Anytime an old door closes, there's some new ones that's going to open. And especially if you're right with God. Now, if you ain't right with God, you better get down on your knees. Amen. Ray, amen. I just want to get a witness in the audience. You my nephew, you know what I'm saying? You my homeboy, you're supposed to give me a witness. Amen. He just waving, okay. All right. To say this, I'm saying this. This is take number 3, the Holy Ghost faith. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to paint a picture for you this morning. This is an hour. Hear me now. These are prophetic words that will come out of my mouth, and I know they're from God. This is an hour to pray. This is not an hour to play with God. This is not an hour to run to the bar, to fornicate, adulterate, lie, steal, get angry, rebel. This is not an hour for that. You will fall dead. You will fall sick and fall dead. And I'm going to tell you something. There's a common line. When the word goes forth, you see, let me tell you something. Something's getting ready to happen where people are going to begin to run to Jesus. Look at the world. Look what's happening to the world right now. Now the president sent somebody else on national TV and said America is going to be hit by a nuclear weapon. They said it. How many people heard it on the news? That said the bombings are going to start here. See, most people don't read the news that way. I always listen to the news. You should listen to the news. Very important. Watch CNN. It's not inspiring. If you don't pray and read the Bible, it'll make you depressed. The Bible says that men's hearts will fail them for the things that are coming upon the world. So if your heart is not fixed, trusting in the Lord, your heart will fail you because of gross darkness. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says this is not the end. This is not the end. A lot of preachers are preaching this is the end times. That is a lie. Read Matthew 24. These are the beginning of sorrows. Hallelujah. And most people do not know the Bible. They read the Bible, but they don't pray in the Spirit about the Bible. So the Holy Spirit hasn't talked to them. They're talking about somebody else's theology, something they read out of a book. Be very careful that when God speaks to you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, 6 months ago, I began to preach on perversion. America is under judgment because of perversion.
Hallelujah.
And you will see around the world, when I begin to preach it, children begin to get stolen. Priests began to come under judgment. God is judging the house of God. There is no reincarnation. That's a lie of hell too. Now, Jesus showed the world there is no reincarnation. When you die, you're not coming back as a pig, hog, chicken, snake, frog, a bunny rabbit, whatever you fancy. You're not coming back as that. You coming back as good old Brian. That's how you're going to stand before God. That's a lie, reincarnation. That's a false doctrine. That's witchcraft. Be careful what you tell people. You see, it's really amazing. I couldn't see this one lady. I was talking to my friend about it. We went to dinner and I was talking to my friend about this one lady. I couldn't see her. I was blinded. Sometimes when you're friends with somebody, you're blinded about them. But God used my sister to expose her. In this hour, you need some spiritual people around you. Because the Bible says straight and narrow is the road that leads into life, and few there be that's going to find it. But the Bible says broad is the way that leads into destruction, and many go there. Why did he say that? There's how many churches on every block? There's a lot of churches. How many? Can we agree? But why? And they're packed with people, especially on Easter, Christmas, making a New Year's resolution. Huh? They ain't saying that they carry out with it, but they try. But there's no what's called, I was sharing with Pastor Chuma, what's called preparation and application. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to talk to you about a person that's going to fly an airplane. How many people ever flew an airplane in this room? Okay. You flew an airplane. How many people ever flew an airplane? You flew an airplane. How many people can drive a car? How many people got a license? How many people drive a car without license? Police ain't in here, don't worry. Police don't know you raised your hand. They just watching the program. That's why we don't flash people. Uh-oh, watch for him, Billy. Now, how many people would drink 3/5 of White Lightning and get behind the wheel on a holiday and start driving? You know you ain't supposed to do that, right? Okay, I'm making an example. Watch this. Why you ain't gonna do that? It's what? Why is it dangerous? Now, come on. Why is it dangerous? Your vision is impaired. Why else? You can kill somebody. That's good. And yourself. Now, listen to this. Why are you walking in sin then? Your temple is the Holy Spirit. When you became born again, you took this body and you said, Holy Spirit, fill me with the Spirit. You don't know me. Don't listen to people. You see, those are lying spirits. You know what God showed me? As I talk to people, as I watch them, the devil has a lying spirit on their head because he does not want them to hear what I'm going to tell you. Or they'll listen to other people that say they know me. You don't know me. You don't know what I do when I go home. So be careful what you say about me. You don't know. Be careful. I was telling somebody, I said, the Bible says, forgive. If you do not forgive, neither will God forgive you. I've had to forgive more people this year in the last, I don't know, January, February, March, April, May, June, in the last 6 months than I've ever had to forgive people. And you know what forgiveness is, ladies and gentlemen? It's letting go. It's called closure. You're going to have to shut the door and allow God to bring something new in your life. It's called closure. You have to also tell people, don't step over this line. Because we, if we're ever going to go somewhere as a body, I'm not talking about as a business, I'm talking about as a church. If we're ever going to be an effective light in this city, we have to learn one thing, and it's called application. Now, I was telling one of my friends, I said, look, I have to bring this out because when I read chapter 7, you're going to see it in a different light. Now, the Muslims tell their women to cover their hair. Is that right or wrong? The world says that's bondage, right? But I can show you right in this book that God tells women to cover their hair in church. It's right in here. But if I told you that, to wear long dresses like this, no makeup, come on, no tight, sexy dresses, you'd think I was a little crazy. In fact, a lot of people have called me controlling. But the Bible says it. And you know what people say? No, that ain't for today. But why is prosperity for today? If I said God gonna make you rich, I mean filthy rich, your ears would perk up like devil's ears. You mean God can make me rich? If all I talked about was money, this place would be packed. In fact, I used to do it. I used to give seminars on money. Folks, rich folks, white folks used to come and listen to me because they know I knew how to make money. Why? Because everybody wants to know the principle of money because money brings security. Do you know what Jesus brings? It brings uncertainty. It does. Jesus brings uncertainty. You know why? Because most people, like God showed me this morning, does not want to die for Jesus. So it's this uncertain thing. You say, well, if I live holy, somebody may kill me for Jesus. But I ain't certain. He may not be up there. Maybe. Maybe if I die and preach this thing, he may not be there. Now, how many people in this room and by television have ever thought that thought? That maybe Jesus ain't up there. Okay. I've thought it. And I mean, I really read the Bible, y'all. I mean, I'll be reading the Bible sometime, maybe 10 hours a day. I may lay in the in the bed for 8 hours just praying. I was doing it this morning. I'm trying to pull in the mind of God. Lord, what exactly are you saying? Now, who exactly are you? Come on, Lord. I don't want to make a mistake. Do you know that Peter denied Jesus? The Bible said Peter denied Jesus 3 times. In fact, Peter even denied Jesus after he preached and won thousands to Jesus. Do you know God had to come to Peter? Peter was on the rooftop, real spiritual that day. He was praying. Say praying. He was reading the word, you know. He was in the spirit. And the Bible says a sheet covered his head. A sheet covered his head. And it said, Peter. Peter said, who are you? He said, take now and eat. And what God was dealing with Peter about is prejudice. Prejudice. In this hour, I remember Fred Price was preaching on prejudice in the last, I think, year. Do you know that 80% of the television networks took him off air because one of the pastors, I think it was Kenneth Hagin Jr., Kenneth Hagin Jr. told a black man he couldn't marry a white woman in his church. Now, this is a prominent church. In fact, Fred Price and Kenneth Hagin were so close, Pastor Price named one of his colleges after him. I mean, they were close. That's just like saying me and my nephew were. Me and Calvin, me and Troy, and you know. You understand what I'm saying? This is close. Close. Amen. I got one of these nice suits. I give it to my nephew. You know, I don't just go out and guy on the street that's just been, you know, playing with his, you know, whatever, and say, here go my couple $1,000 suit. I give it to my nephew or I give it to one of the brothers, right? Amen. But this is what Fred Price and Hagin was doing. But when it happened, there was still something down in their heart called prejudice. The Lord told me this will be another element that will stop the move of God in a church. I don't care how big a church is. It don't matter how big of a church is. We talk about how many people are totally born again in that church. Because a lot of people go to church. But that don't mean they're born again. That don't mean they're totally saved. That don't mean their foundation is built on a rock. And that doesn't mean they totally believe everything the Bible says. In fact, some people say the Bible's tampered with. You know why? Because it is. It's tampered by the Holy Ghost. And if you ain't tampered by the Holy Ghost, if you ain't possessed by the Holy Ghost, you will never understand this book. In fact, you'll look at the book and say, oh, the white man wrote that book. I can't understand it. The white man wrote it. You know, when the white man writes something, you know, it's in some English language, you know, whatever, you know, because we don't want to seek God and turn from our wicked ways. See, you, ladies and gentlemen, this is the first step. First, we got to come out of our father's house. There may be some things in your father's house that you ain't got no business dealing with. You have to come out from amongst them and be separate. Now, that's the first step of being saved. Then the Bible said you have to turn from your wicked ways. Now, you cannot turn from your wicked. It may take you 20, 30 years to turn from your wicked ways. Do you know you cannot turn from your wicked ways on your own? And it's not a something that you just wake up in the morning and say, I'm free from smoking cigarettes. Cigarettes may be a monkey on your back riding you. Give me that cigarette. Huh? You may not be able to stop smoking for years. Some people got a drinking problem. They've come down to the altar. They've cried. They've prayed. They've sobbed. They still got a drinking problem. Some people got a porno problem. Some people got a sex problem. Lord Jesus. Some people got a lying problem. Some people tell lies, look you right in your face, and say, Brother Brian, didn't you know I was doing so? And I'm looking right at them. Think, well, why ain't it done then? Some people can look you right in the face and tell a lie and smile about it. And say, Brother, don't you look good? Totally evade the, you know, what we're talking about. But Jesus said, unless you repent, you're going to perish. That's what God told me this morning. God told me, he said, we have to repent. Say repent. And the Bible said, and then be converted. You cannot be converted until you repent. A lot of people saying, come on into the church, dress like you want, live like you want. And then when, let's say if everybody looked down, we all walk down the street. Could the world see that we are Christians? By the way we talk. By the way we treat one another. Will they know that we're Christians? By the way we act. Not around church people, but around secret places. If you just was walking through the grocery store, would people know that you were a Christian? If you were walking through the hospital, would the devil know you're there? Would he know? I'm going to ask you another question this morning. Has the Holy Ghost passed away? I want to ask you another question. How many times do you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Nope. 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 Come on, y'all. How many times do you need the Holy Ghost? It's true, all the time. But where do you get it? When do you get it? You can say I need a drink all the time, too. When you got to go get one, though, right? I want you to think and use your head this morning. How many times do you need the Holy Ghost? Or maybe I didn't say that right. How many times do you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost on a monthly basis? Say it out loud. What y'all scared of? Ain't nobody in here going to do nothing to y'all. Every day at 9 o'clock. No, every day at 9 o'clock. I can prove it. Watch. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being at the what? Now, do you think they went there just any time? Any time they wanted to, they just stumbled into the church? That's how most Christians are. They just stumbled in. In fact, most Christians, when they come to church, they don't spend no time on their knees to see if I'm telling the truth. How you gonna know if I'm lying to you if you don't come in here and pray in the morning? But you see, church is, I'm gonna go in there and let Brother Brian preach to me for 1 hour. That ain't what the Bible said. You're supposed to come in here and see God, so if I ain't right, the Lord smacks the out of me and said, wait up! Right, Asher? See, Asher believes it. You see, this is the hour where people just go to church, they sit down. Hey, Pastor Barry. Pastor Chuma, you look like Pastor Barry this morning. How y'all doing? And we just look. That sounds good. How you doing? I'm doing good too. And that's the way we do. We don't know what the pastor's gonna say. You know why? Because prayer has left the church. A fear of God has left the church too. Some things I want to do, I don't do them because I say, no, I fear God. I don't want to do that right now. I need to get this thing right. This is a year I cannot go into the year 2003 doing the same thing I was doing. I'm 40 years old. I'm not going to do the same thing I used to do at 39. There's some things I got to get right. I got to mature and I got to grow up. When I was a boy, I did boyish things. When I became a man, I got to put away the boyish things. Do you hear me, gentlemen? Do you hear me, ladies? God said, put away childish things. God began to deal with me this morning. He said, this is a tape number 3 on the Holy Ghost faith. God's looking like the Marines for a few good men. Now, when I read this to you, I'm going to show you how a man's life impacted a whole city, but they didn't shake his hand, they killed him. Ladies and gentlemen, when you get close to Jesus, people are not going to like you. Did you hear what I said? So there goes another hurdle that we got to get over. People are not going to like us when we tell the truth. Straight up. Now, it's not us telling the truth. It's the word of God. Everything you do or say should be right here. You say, well, I can't talk about nothing else but the Bible. That's what he said. I didn't say it. Why do people say I say this stuff? Have you ever read the Bible? Now watch this. How many people know about lawyers? Do you know what a lawyer is? Now watch. The lawyer is representing you on a murder case. But he want to talk about Barney. I love you, you love me, we're a big... And the judge is saying, Mr. Johnson! Boom, 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 boom. Order in the court! I love you, you love me. Why the... Ain't he supposed to be talking about the law? But he's talking about Barney! Tears is liking it. Look. Barney. Because that's all they know, right? Why did this clown go 6 years to get a law degree? He talking about Barney. And you're shaking. What's wrong with this lawyer? He talking about Barney. I'm getting ready to go to jail for life. Now, why is he not supposed to be talking about Barney? Right. You ain't supposed to be talking about Barney. You got a job to do. We talking about reincarnation, Playboy, Jack Daniels. Hello, disco, Tupac, Willie Nelson. But that ain't what we were trained to see. There's a training time. You got to be trained for this job. Or you going to be at court talking about, I love you, you love me. We're a big, happy, fat family. And the prosecutor going to be over there talking about, I got him now. He didn't do his homework. And that's why we're losing. We ain't losing because we don't got the right stuff. We're losing because we ain't doing the research. What is he supposed to do when he got a murder case? He's supposed to, first of all, go to that law book. He's supposed to search out all the other cases that deal with his case. He's supposed to find a loophole in the prosecutor's case. Am I doing good, Joe? And that's what we got to do with the devil. Do you know the devil, when he writes a case against us, he don't write it right? He makes a lot of mistakes. But we don't know the word, so we don't even see the mistakes. Uh-oh, SpaghettiO. So the devil's just hitting us with all kind of stuff. Bam, bam, bam. And it's like, we're just crying. Go get me a fifth, man. Go get me a drink, man. Smoke me some weed or something. I need some peace. Hello? You know I ain't lying. A lot of people smoking weed. Wow. And you know a lot of people smoking weed, they can quote John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I know people high as kites be quoting scripture. You can go right outside and talk to the homeless. They can quote more scripture than more church people. And homeless. So it don't matter how much scripture you quote if you do not apply it. And if you don't understand it. You'll be just sitting in the congregation. You'll know the word, but you won't know how to apply it. Why do lawyers get people? How come OJ walked? OJ was probably guilty. We know that. But why did OJ get off? Did he go hire the plumber? Did he hire a banker? Did he hire a preacher? Yeah, he did. First thing he did is have that football player go in there and pray with him. Rosie Greer. Am I right? Y'all better pay attention. Them old fat preachers is good sometimes. Beneficial to the outcome of your destination. Old Rosie went in there and said, OJ, let's get down on our knees and pray. Now, OJ probably ain't prayed, been smoking crack and getting high on cocaine for 20 years. Why do you think they used to call him the Jews? OJ was selling more coke in L.A. and everybody getting high on cocaine in L.A. Everybody. You know I ain't lying. But why did OJ get off? Because he hired the right staff of people. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ has to do. Jesus is not going to go get somebody that haven't done their homework. How many people in this room have some unanswered prayers? Raise your hand if you have some unanswered prayers. If you prayed for something and you didn't get it yet. Have you done your homework? Have you done some research about it? Or you just keep praying about it? Have you searched the scripture about what you're praying about? Or what you're asking God for? Or you just praying? Watch this. Chapter 7, verse 1. Then said the high priest, are these things so? Now, ladies and gentlemen, here goes a high priest asking a man. Now this, they don't say this man had a doctor degree. They just said this man, I want to go through 6 for a minute, just underline it in your Bible. And in those days, When the number of the disciples were multiplied, this is verse 1 of chapter 6, there arose a murmuring in the Galatians against the Hebrews because the widows were in neglect in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples with them and said, is there no reason we should leave the word of God? Now, this is what preachers are doing. They're leaving the word of God, listen, and serving tables. This is what I was doing for the last 6 months. We had so much confusion in this thrift store. I was leaving. I couldn't pray. You know how many times people called me the other day? You won't believe it. 86 times on my cell phone. And most of the people that called me, they just called me. Watch. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, 7 men, honest, say honest, report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, say full of the Holy Ghost. Now listen, whom we may appoint over the business. Ladies and gentlemen, we talked about that on Thursday night, that deacons, pastors, bishops, you should be full of the Holy Ghost. You should have wisdom. That your character is the number one thing that God is looking for. You're going to suffer. There may be some times you need to fast. You need to not touch your wife. Amen. You might have to seek God. Every night, instead of you going home watching TV, listening to the radio, you got to cut it off and get on your knees for 2 or 3 hours. You can go home at 6 o'clock, eat dinner, and watch TV for 4 or 5 hours, but you can't pray for 1 hour. But we will give ourselves, listen, verse 4, continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the same pleased the whole multitude, so everybody was in unity. Say unity. Ladies and gentlemen, you must know what I have to do. If you don't want me going around screaming and hollering, you need to lead me around God so I can get close to God. And ladies and gentlemen, I must have a staff of people like Pastor Chuma. I was telling the pastor last night. We all got to be accountable. One preacher called me. He said, brother, I would sure like to come down and preach. I said, well, I don't think so. And I said, I respect you as an elder, but you're not accountable. Amen. See, that's the key right there God is looking for. Accountability. Humility. But God didn't tell you to be a fool. God didn't tell people to keep let you step on them and let you just keep walking over them. You must be accountable. You must be a committed member. Say a committed member. If you're a member of the Bar Association, you got to pay your dues. Or what they going to do? Hello? If you get as somebody that made a complaint against you and you're a member of the Bar Association, what happens to you? You get suspended. That's the same thing about people's power. Why do you think there ain't no power in the church? God has suspended the power. I command that lady to grow out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I command it in Jesus' name. That lady going to grow out. He going to go home. That lady going to grow out. He's going to say, ah! Amen. Hallelujah. I keep dreaming people's legs and arms and eyes growing back. It's going to happen. Now let's go to chapter 7. Then said the high priest, are these things so? Now listen, ladies and gentlemen. Here goes a godly man asking this man, are these things so? Praise the Lord, brother. How you doing? I know he wanted, Holy Ghost wanted him to come in. That leg going to be healed in Jesus' name. And he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mecatonia. I'm in verse 3 in Acts chapter 7. And said unto him, get thee out of thy country. Say that with me, ladies and gentlemen. Get thee out of thy country. Now, we know what that means, get thee out of thy country. Because you know some things that your family is practicing, you ain't got no business practicing. Amen. Okay, then it goes about telling the land, and it goes to verse 5. And he gave him no inheritance in it, and that so much so that his foot, he promised that he would give it him in a possession and to his seed after him. Listen. So he was looking. Abraham was looking for a possession, but he couldn't have one because his wife was old. Now, here goes the faith. Ladies and gentlemen, you can never obey this book unless you have faith in God. And faith is not something coming to church on Sunday. Faith is something that you have to be sold out. It's like having a sick mother, praise God, in the hospital. Now, if your mama was in the hospital and you loved her, you'd be in the hospital every night. Amen. If your wife or husband was sick in the hospital, you'd be there every night praying that God would heal them. You wouldn't be laughing, yeah, let him die. Amen. You know what I'm saying? If you got unforgiveness, you'll want them to die. Unforgiveness is a powerful power. Because the Bible said the devil came to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus came to give life and life more abundantly. And this is what this man was saying to these people. And we go down, he talks about Jacob, he talks about Joseph, he talks about all these people. And here goes the people that these were religious people. These were not ungodly people who stoned him. These were people that knew about God. Listen to this. See, the people that are going to gossip and talk about you are not worldly people. They're going to be convicted. They're just going to cut the TV. You know who's going to be talking about you the most? Christians. Christians are the biggest gossipers. Why y'all looking at me like y'all just lost your pan? Wow. Watch this. Let's go to 7:49. Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Now, Stephen is talking to the congregation of religious people. Hath not my hand made all these things, ye stiff neck and uncircumcision heart and ears? Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. Now, this is what the church is doing right now. It's resisting the Holy Ghost. You cannot live holy without the Holy Ghost. I couldn't do it. You have to have the Holy Ghost every day. You can pray. I don't care if you fast for 30 days. I guarantee you, even Paul said it. He said, lest I be a castaway, I bring my body under subjection. Because you can fast for 30 days, get 1 million people saved, healed, and go right out and fornicate and adulterate and smoke some weed or a drink. You know why? Because you didn't recognize that this was a daily walk before God. This is not something you do once a week. You know, this is something every day you have to live. You have to take a shower. I know I have to. Some people need to take 2 showers. Every day you got to brush your teeth. Some people need to brush their teeth 3 or 4 times. Every day you need to clean your feet. I know some people, if they don't want to soak their feet, them bad boys be stinking. Every day you need to comb your hair. Don't comb your hair, you don't look like Don King. Right? Folks don't need to read the Bible, though, and pray for 1 hour, though, every day. I do that in church when I listen to the preacher. But what if the preacher ain't praying, reading the Bible? You're going to get another lukewarm message. You came in lukewarm, the preacher going to make you more lukewarm. Or he'll be too much on fire, and you're going to say, that's a crazy preacher. Because you ain't crazy yet. You got to get crazy with this thing. Watch what happens when Stephen got crazy with religious people. Watch. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? Verse 52 of chapter 7. And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one. See, they slain even the prophets because they were mad. Of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut in their heart, and they gasped on him and on their teeth. They were like, oh, how many people ever did that too? You ever did that? How many times your ear be itching, you want to go like this with your teeth? That's what he was doing. He was mad, man. They couldn't take it. I'm going to kill him. How many people be mad about somebody like that? Oh, I'm tired of you, Mom. You're telling me what to do. You don't say, Mommy, I hate you, right? You're like, But like, your mother be like, what's wrong? What you trying to say? They was mad. Now watch what they did. Watch. When they heard these things, they were cut to their heart and they gasped with their teeth. But he being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up to Stephen. Now that's even made him more mad. He looks up into heaven. He ain't even a preacher. He just got full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost. He looks up into heaven, watch this, and tells him, look steadfast into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Oh, that made him more mad. Oh, man, why you ain't go? If you tell some religious people you done saw Jesus, they will call you a false prophet because they ain't seeing Jesus. How dare you? You just think you're better than us. You know what I'm saying? I can walk in some churches, man, I feel it. I say, I gotta be perfect. Because if I don't be perfect, man, all the things I done said, I'm going straight to hell. Huh? You know what I'm saying? Because God be using me to let people have it. I'll be like, God, why you make me say that? Sometimes I don't even want to say it. I'll be fighting back with God. I don't want to say that. Then I got to live up to it. How many people ever said something they got to live up to? Don't you hate that? You're like, wow, why'd I say that? And said, behold, I saw heaven open and saw the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears like this. Look. And they put their fingers in their ears with the wax. I read this thing like 50 times. I saw this thing. I was like, wow, they were pissed off, man. They were mad. They were mad. Ladies and gentlemen, there are some religious people that are mad at you. Go in there and tell them, hey, y'all want to pray? How many people you ever asked to pray and they just looked at you like you was crazy? Like, I got to go to the grocery store. Prayer, what's wrong with you? I'm going to the buffet. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not his sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And as I was praying in the spirit this morning, I'm laying before God and I'm praying. I'm trying to get what God is trying to say. And God began to speak to me and God gave me this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This is what God said to me. He said, Brian. I said, yes, Lord. Brian, no, God, don't be my name. You know, when God calls you by your name, you better pay attention. He's like, yeah, Lord. Watch this. Verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2. But I beseech you that... be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh, okay, according to confusion or joking or whatever. Watch. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is what God began to tell me about Stephen. I got around 10, 15 minutes, and I'm going to wrap it up. Stephen was not always like that, where he could just preach and make people so mad they had to stick their fingers in their ears. Stephen was a sinner. Stephen had to come to Jesus and repent and get filled with the Holy Ghost. Can I get a witness? But he immersed. In fact, Stephen didn't even have the New Testament like we do. Stephen was reading from the Old Testament. He only probably had Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Right? Because the book of Acts wasn't written yet. In fact, the next chapter, we're going to talk about that tonight, is when Saul gets saved. Saul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, right? Paul, Saul, right? So here goes Stephen. He kept reading about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. He kept talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus. That's what he kept talking about, the kingdom of God. He kept preaching about that. And so something happened inside of him. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a drinking problem, a sex problem, a problem watching too much bad television, a problem with the wrong radio station, this is what you do. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you keep looking at garbage, it will begin to torment you. And I'm going to tell you another thing. It will control you. Whatever you are thinking will control you. It's like having a crying baby. You're going to have to get up and get up late in the night and get that baby that bottle. Thank God for breastfeeding. Amen. Then baby start crying. Wah, wah. Man, that used to drive me crazy. And me, you cannot wake me up if I'm sleeping. I'll be putting a pillow over my head. Let me alone. Right? You don't want to get up when the baby crying. That's the same thing when you have a headache or when something is tormenting you. You don't want to go read the Bible. You don't want to put something inside that problem because you're so tormented by the thought, by the pain. Because there's nothing in your heart. If there was something in your heart, it would just go, it would just belch out. Watch this now. And you would say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, and the pain would go. The torment would go. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you might have to do that 5,000 times before you have victory in that area. Because if for 5 years you took depression pills and you let tormenting depressive thoughts control your mind and your destiny and your emotions, now you're fighting back. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you ever fought back to a bully when, you know, at school, but you know what I'm saying. He still whooped your butt a couple times till you went to martial art class. Huh? But after you went to martial art class, you won't run that fat little rascal home, right? Right? Think about it. But at first, when he first whooping your butt the first couple times, he got you running home, bloody nose, screaming, crying. Mama say, what's wrong? You got your butt whooped. But you tried. Right? That's how the devil is. For the first couple times, the devil gonna whoop your behind. But you got to keep fighting. You got to keep fighting the thoughts. You know why people become child molesters? You didn't wake up no child molester. You did not wake up no homosexual, no lesbian. You had to think about it. You didn't wake up no adultery. You didn't say, I'm going to adulterate on my wife. You thought about it. You was paying attention what so-and-so was dressing. You was looking at him. Know you got a husband at home. And you were looking at Johnny at the office. Johnny had that good physique. Come on, my husband, he is a little fat. I'm going to get rid of him and give me somebody. I got a good body. The lust of the eye and the pride of life. It didn't just jump off the page. You thought about it. And don't let your husband get you mad. Johnny just gave you the pager. I know I'm hitting home with somebody. You see, this is how it starts. It starts with a little seed. It don't just grow overnight. You thought about it. You didn't just go to work and say, I'm taking you home tonight. I'm going to throw my husband out. You had to plan it. This is what this is. See, this is what Stephen did. Stephen planned to win people to Jesus. He planned. He said, I'm going to either win people or they're going to kill me. He didn't say, I'm going to go to church on Sunday. They picked him because he was a man full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, and full of the wisdom of God. He had a character that everybody could see. He didn't just come out to church on Sunday. Nobody knew about him. Everybody was paying attention to him because they was listening to this dude. They said, this guy's different. So that's why the apostles picked him for the ministry of the elderly. And here he goes, being picked with the ministry of the elderly, and now the high priest pays attention to him. Because you know why? He had something down inside of him. He spent time with God. And when he spent time with God, his character began to change. He didn't start off with that type of character. He kept spending more time with God and more time with God. And pretty soon that thing began to grow. Say grow. In Christ. See, first, you start off as a little baby. You don't start off with a big pop belly. You got to eat at the buffet every night. Right? I was skinny, y'all, like Joshua. Bony. But I kept eating. And my stomach kept getting fatter. Double chin. I looked like that guy on, what's that dude, Eddie Murphy? The clumps. It didn't happen overnight. I just kept eating. That's the same thing with the Bible. Do you know how I learned the Bible? I used to read the Bible 5-10 hours a day. And you know what? All of a sudden, I just stopped reading the Bible. And I start going backwards. I still had the word in me. But I start going backwards. Say backwards. And this is what happens. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not have to war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. What is the weapon? He's talking about the word of God. He's not talking about, what is carnal? Worldly music, worldly television. You know, we all know the actors. If I said, who played in Fat Albert? You know. You watch it every morning. Your mama put you in front of that TV. The TV raised you. 99% of us, the TV raised us. Don't look at me like you lost your pan. You know I'm telling the truth. Listen, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. How come 99% of Christian people cannot pull down the strongholds in their life? Because they're not practicing it. You know what they're practicing? Building strongholds in their life.